assume that there are two schools of thought on the pain created by a moderate shock. One argues that the pain is entirely the outcome of culture and assumptions, and the other argues that it is the outcome of real distress. The first, the hard constructivist school, says that subjects' widely differing descriptions show that no one experience underlies the accounts. The second, the perennialist school, says that a real experience does underlie the accounts, but different cultures and assumptions produce different descriptions. In some cultures, children are brought up to ignore pain as evidence of personal courage, but in others they are taught that self-expression connects them with others. Differing testimonies signal the need to consider culture when interpreting first-person accounts, but do not rule out the possibility that there is one universal experience underlying them. All serious thinkers in this area are attempting to map a territory whose exploration has hardly begun. This book takes the perennialist position. RSMEs and Evolutionary Psychology. Between two barbaric nations, the one that was the more superstitious of the two would generally be the more united and therefore the more powerful. Eugenicist Francis Galton on The Origin of Religion, 1894. The individual is prepared by the sacred rituals for supreme effort and self-sacrifice. Overwhelmed by shibboleths, special costumes, and the sacred dancing and music so accurately keyed to his emotive centers, he has a religious experience. Sociobiologist Edward O. Wilson on The Origin of Religion. Are RSMEs merely a quirk of a materialist evolution? For over a century, scientists have pondered RSMEs in relation to human evolution. Unfortunately, under materialist influence, the project became not so much exploring away, but explaining away. Evelyn Underhill noted at the turn of the 20th century that mystical consciousness in particular was a puzzling circumstance for deterministic philosophers, who can only escape from the dilemma here presented to them by calling these things illusions and dignifying their own more manageable illusions with the title of facts. She framed the conflict between the mystic and the materialist succinctly. That there is an extreme point at which man's nature touches the absolute, that his ground or substance, his true being, is penetrated by the divine life which constitutes the underlying reality of things. This is the basis on which the whole mystic claim of possible union with God must rest.